This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, August 16th of 2023. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, today is the first day of school across the Boulder Valley. We'll take a look at how schools across the state are preparing for the new academic year. Comedian Craig Ferguson is making a tour stop in Boulder this week. We'll hear an excerpt of his extended conversation with Metro host Miriam Schiff. Then, herbalist Brigitte Mars will share some tips about fighting acne on her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update and commentary from Jim Hightower are at the bottom of the hour. On today's A Public Affair, we'll rebroadcast a History Colorado interview with the late nature photographer and environmentalist John Fielder. Fielder died late last week after a prolonged battle with cancer. Then at 9:30, Ginger Perry will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still coming up, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Jack Armstrong.
Students enrolled at Boulder Valley School District School begin the school year today. Commuters should plan to expect traffic and pedestrians around schools this morning and afternoon for the duration of the school year. Two new programs will kick off at public schools across Colorado this year. One is the option of universal pre-kindergarten. The other is free school meals for all students, regardless of income qualification. The return to school will affect both use and staffing at Boulder's recreation centers, specifically its swimming pools. The Scott Carpenter Pool was open yesterday for extended hours as part of a last splash before school. The leisure pool area at Scott Carpenter will scale back to weekend hours only until it closes for the season in early September. The Spruce Pool will remain open through Labor Day. The East Boulder Pool has an age-restricted schedule, with some times off-limits to people under the age of 18. The North Boulder Rec Center Pool is currently closed for annual maintenance. The city's detailed pool schedule is available online via the city's website. With many municipal outdoor swimming pools closing for the season, some communities are marking the occasion by opening their pools to dogs. Maeve Conran paid a visit to the Roosevelt Pool in Longmont, which held its annual Dog Days event on Tuesday.
I am Molly Jorgensen, an aquatics coordinator with the City of Longmont. We're having a doggy paddle event at our Roosevelt Activity Pool where all of our dogs can come and have fun in the pool. Yeah, it is a lot of fun. The dogs get to play in the water, run around. We have tennis balls. We had doggy ice cream here tonight, which was great. We probably had about 150 dogs come and go throughout the night. Yeah, it's a good time.
This is Buddy. He's a 5-year-old Chiweenie, and he loves to swim, but there's a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of dogs. Keep taking the ball out of the pool and over here, so I guess that's a sign he doesn't want to swim right now.
That's Oscar. You have something to say about this?
Oscar's having a good time, clearly.
He is, yeah. He loves to play fetch and he loves the water, so this is a perfect place for him.
Hudson's a golden retriever puppy, and we've been getting him into the water this summer, and he jumped off the side of a pool for the first time here today. It's been great.
There's another opportunity for folks in Longmont to bring your furry friends to the pool. This Thursday, August 17, the Kanimoto Activity Pool is open for dogs. Boulder is not holding its Dog Days event this year, saying that they want to allow humans to enjoy the pools for as long as possible this season. Broomfield's Bay Aquatic Park will host their Dog Days on Saturday, September 9. Police have arrested a 36-year-old man suspected of stealing 22 comic books, valued at a total of $13,000 from Time Warp Comics on 28th Street in Boulder late last month. Two Colorado Springs store owners reported the man after he sold the comics to them. Police identified the man by his real name, which he used when selling the items to the Colorado Springs stores, as well as through video footage on his car. Yuma County made Colorado state history last week with its record-breaking hailstone. KGNU and Report for America's Jackie Sedley has the details.
This past Tuesday, August 8th, a large chunk of ice fell from the sky and was picked up by a storm chaser on the side of a road between Kirk and Adelia. The hailstone was a whopping 5.25 inches long on the day it fell. That's according to the National Weather Service and other meteorologists. The hailstone hit the ground following a severe storm that produced several tornadoes in Yuma. They weighed it in at 7.29 ounces, slightly heavier than a billiard ball. Colorado has historically been a hail hotspot due to the region's elevation, with hailstorms costing billions of dollars in damage to homes and businesses in recent years. State climatologist Rush Schumacher told CPR News that climate change doesn't mean Colorado will just start seeing 5-inch hailstones regularly, but that severe storms producing large and dangerous hail could become more common. For KGNU and Report for America, I'm Jackie Sedley.
A performer in Cirque du Soleil's troupe has been discharged from the hospital after sustaining an injury during a Saturday matinee in Denver. Cirque du Soleil's Cuzo production had its final run this past Sunday after 6 weeks in downtown Denver's Ball Arena. Denver police have released footage of a deadly encounter between a Denver police officer and Brandon Cole, a black man who was holding a marker. Denver police officer shot the man twice in the chest, reporting that they mistook the marker for a knife. Body cam footage shows the suspect, Brandon Cole, closing in on the officer as he brings this small object up near his chest. The name of the police officer who shot Cole has not been released, but she has been involved in no other shootings. For today's weather, it's a hot one with a forecasted high of 95 degrees in Boulder. There's a 20% chance of thunderstorms after 3 p.m. Cloudy skies turn to clear ones tonight with a low of 63 degrees. In Denver, increasing clouds through the day with a low chance of rain and a high of 96 degrees. Tonight, it's partly cloudy with a low of 64 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Jack Armstrong.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Shannon Young. Today is the first day of school across the Boulder Valley, which means it's also the first day parents here of four-year-olds will have access to 15 hours a week of free pre-K. Thousands of kids statewide are now eligible for Colorado's new Universal Preschool program. Children with additional needs had been eligible for extra hours. However, the state recently announced that due to a lack of funding, only children from low-income families who also have a second learning barrier can participate in that program. As Cassie Knust of KVNF reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio, even for families availing of the basic 15 hours a week, the path to preschool is not always smooth, especially in rural communities.
There have been concerns about whether enough preschool places are available in the state. In Montrose County, which has been described as a childcare desert, Matt Jenkins with the Montrose County School District says that while the new state program will make preschool more accessible for many families, it doesn't solve the childcare crisis.
You know, I often get asked the question, you know, I thought now that this legislation's passed, the preschool problem is solved, right? And my response to that is, well, anytime you take a state initiative, a new state program, a new state resource, you know, it's not going to be flipping a switch and the problem's going to be solved. There will be efficiencies that have to be figured out. You know, there are processes that have to be learned and relearned. We're finding, you know, I often get the question, you know, we're seeing that some of these slots aren't getting taken, right? Reporters will ask, well, you know, if the state is now funding this, then why are are parents not, you know, flying in droves? And one answer to that question is the process is complicated. You know, this is the first time the state has ever done this. The state's still figuring out, you know, how this is going to work, much less Montrose County.
Penny Harris, director for MCSD's Early Childhood Centers, says there are also other programs that support families in paying for preschool.
CCAP also does the same thing, Colorado Child Care Assistance Program. That program may pay a private daycare or home care provider to provide a full day of child care for a family, and so they don't have to dip into the UPK funding sources. So that could be why it looks like that there's vacancies.
Additionally, Harris notes that not all preschool and child care providers are participating in the program.
Well, when the governor's office stood up the Colorado Department of Early Childhood to organize universal preschool program, one of the big things was parent choice. They wanted parents to be able to have the choice where to send their children, whether it be to my program or to a private provider, small center, wherever the providers that were opting into being in the UPK system were. I think that some private homes have just found it more simple to say, I'll keep your kids, let's just keep the same arrangements, and then they're not having to struggle with the complicated application process, the kind of changing the rules as they go because they figure out the systems didn't work. And I don't think in our community it's having the impact that it's having in other communities because we just don't have that many providers in our community.
Some three-year-olds are also eligible and could receive up to 10 hours a week of preschool if they qualify. Jenkins with the Montrose County School District says they will help all families with children 3 to 4 years old find a preschool place and navigate the different programs that are available to help pay for it.
Regardless of the way that it's funded, whether it's Head Start, Universal Pre-K, we're going to make sure that kids have the resources that will get them ready for success in kindergarten. We know research tells us the benefit of early childhood instruction ages 3 through 5 make you that much more successful as a student later in elementary school and middle school and high school and beyond. And so that's a valuable resource that we're going to make sure families can take advantage of.
For KVNF, I'm Cassie Knust.
In Durango, physical education teachers are expanding their curricula this year. The teachers recently attended a training to learn several Native American games that they'll start teaching in gym classes. Clark Adamitis of KSUT and KSJD has more.
At Escalante Middle School on a sunny summer weekday morning, the 9R School District's PE teachers are learning how to play run and scream.
Now run and scream.
We started in 1990 trying to recover the Blackfeet children's games at the middle school.
Deanna Brady Leader is a director at Traditional Native Games, a Montana-based organization that runs workshops for schools and camps. More than 30 years ago, it was Blackfeet children that sparked this revival effort.
And the kids went out and talked to their relatives and their grandmas and their grandpas and basically brought back about 20 parts of games. Some we didn't know the name of. Some we had basic rules, but there were gaps in most of what we were learning.
It took some time to put together the whole puzzle.
Between all of them, they were able to put together basic rules, an idea of how to build the equipment, and what to call a game.
They consulted with elders to learn more about these games.
The kids took what they had learned to 17 elders at the Blackfeet Community College, and the elders, most of them had been sent to boarding school.
Brady Leader raised 2 Blackfeet daughters, but is a white woman herself. As a teacher, she worked with Native children and elders to bring games from their childhood to life in their gym classes. Now she leads workshops for other teachers.
It brings cultural awareness to everyone, in a fun way, too.
Jennifer Fernandez is the Native American liaison for Park Elementary School and is a member of the Chumash tribe. She organized last week's training.
Native American history is American history, and it should be in all of our school districts. It should be in every school.
Most 9R school district PE teachers were there last week at the training and will incorporate it in gym classes starting in the fall. For KSUT and KSJD, I'm Clark Adamitis.
Thank you.
laughter is medicine for the heart and soul, and award-winning actor, writer, and comedian Craig Ferguson is coming to Boulder this week to administer a dose. He spoke with Metro host Miriam Schiff ahead of his shows, coming up this Thursday and Friday to the Boulder Theater.
You're doing two shows in Boulder. First night is Thursday, August 17th, and the second is Friday, August the 18th at 7:30 in the Boulder Theater for your Fancy Rascal tour. Why Boulder?
Well, it's a tour, and so one of the essential components of a tour is that you go to various towns throughout the tour. Boulder is a place that I often go to. I love the challenge of working with little to no oxygen. So it's always a pleasure. Boulder was the first place actually ever that they offered me oxygen backstage before I went on. And I said, yeah, you know what? Yeah, let me try that. And I took it and it was great. So now, and I'm not kidding, I use oxygen all the time before I go on stage.
What is the audience going to experience? Because I know in your Tickle Me tour, and I believe it was 2017, you shared your observations about social media makes everything real. If it's on social media, then it happened. Talk to me about that.
Well, I kind of did talk about it then. I mean, what it does for me, what I tend to do now, is that I ask the audience, a lot of comics will say, you know, you have to put your cell phone in a little bag or something like that. Or leave it at the door or turn it off. And I ask the audience to not record it and turn it on because I feel that live stuff. Look, I'll tell you, I'm in New York right now. And I went to the Met yesterday to look. They have an exhibition of Van Gogh paintings, Van Gogh's cypresses, which are beautiful. And in that exhibition of paintings, there is the very famous painting of Starry, Starry Night, which is the iconic, beautiful piece of genius from Van Gogh. And what's amazing is if you want to see that painting, you have to go early in the morning before everyone's up, turns up and holds their phone in front of it. Because if you don't get there early enough, it's the same if you go and see the Mona Lisa in Paris. Everyone is holding their phone in front of it and recording something digitally instead of recording it in your mind. So it's not really about protecting myself from social media. It's more about, no, be with me here in this. Let's do this as a thing. It's a live show. Let's do it.
You have a podcast called
Yes.
Craig Ferguson Introducing Joy. And I listened to the one that you did with Gabrielle Fluffy Iglesias. And in it, you're talking to people about joy. Where do they find their joy? And it's like performing for him is joy. Being in a stadium is joy. Where is your joy?
Well, joy, I think for me is, you know, it's like happiness. It ebbs and flows and is at different things at different times. Of course, there is the joy of being amongst your loved ones and enjoying their company. Then, you know, after a long time amongst your loved ones and enjoying your company, there is the joy of not being with your loved ones and enjoying their company. If it's about raison d'être, you know, a feeling of where do I feel like I'm meant to be at the time, then for me, a large part of that is live performance. And that's, you know, goes back to what you said earlier about people recording stuff. I like the spontaneity and that weird kind of, Robin Williams, God rest him, used to talk about it as kind of like jazz. When you're doing stand-up, you're improvising and you're working and you know how to play the instrument, but you're playing it in a different way than you played it the previous night. And I love that. That's a fascinating and kind of visceral feeling. I think it's probably the closest that I'll ever get to being what athletes call being in the zone. Do you know what I mean? It's like you just feel like you're kind of connected in some way to what you should be doing and everything feels kind of right. It doesn't happen every night, but happens more nights than you think. And that's, I try and create the conditions for that to happen.
Craig, thank you so much for for the stories, for the laughs, for the insights, and for everything that you've given us.
Thank you. I'll keep going as long as I can.
That was Metro host Miriam Schiff speaking with former Late Late Show host Craig Ferguson. He'll be at the Boulder Theater tomorrow and Friday as part of his Fancy Rascal tour. Up next is Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings, welcome to Naturally. Let me share a few words of wisdom about acne. You know, I had acne. And I went to a lot of dermatologists. I think that's probably one of the reasons that I got into natural health. I was determined to find a cure. And, you know, people look for things that they can put on their skin, but it's not really about what you put on. I really, really think that we might need to look at food allergies. It's like our bodies are trying to get rid of something that it doesn't agree with. And our skin is sometimes referred to as the third lung. It's one of the ways that we eliminate. I mean, if we didn't have skin, you know, we just wouldn't function. We'd just be a mess all over the place. So skin helps to let things out and helps to keep things in. So food allergies, I've seen many, many people, myself included, do better when they get off of some common allergenic foods, gluten and dairy, you know, and even if you were told you're not allergic to it, I would still try going off of it because it can make a big difference. And we know that a lot of allergies can cause inflammation. And so getting pustules in your skin is a form of inflammation. And, you know, whether you tested positive or not, try going 3 weeks really strictly without any gluten or dairy products. And of course, it could be other things too. It could be strawberries or mangoes or soy or corn. But find out what the most common allergens are and try eliminating them one by one. There are some wonderful herbs that can help clear up skin conditions. And I think of dandelion root, burdock root, yellow dock root, Oregon grape root. Rebecca's Apothecary has some wonderful blends of skin herbs. Red clover would be another one. And you know, where you break out can usually tell you something. I know a lot of women especially break out around their chin and jaw area. That corresponds to the reproductive organs in Asian medicine. So, you know, what side am I ovulating on this month? Breaking out on your cheeks might indicate that your lungs are stressed. Breaking out on your nose might show that your heart needs a little attention. The forehead, maybe you need to pay attention to your intestines. So I have a book called Beauty by Nature that has like a map of the face. Breaking out on your chest or back might mean, what are you doing to your lungs? Are you still smoking those cigarettes or breathing in chemicals that are compromising your lungs? So rather than seeing acne as like a demonic force, which I know it can seem like, maybe see it as an opportunity to pay attention to your body. And there's a great little product called a Blemish Stick by Desert Essence. I'll tell you, don't pick. Just rub that stick on there and the pimple will vanish like magic. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
Thank you for joining us on today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host and producer, Shannon Young. Zach Thompson is our sound engineer. Jack Armstrong is the headlines producer. Thanks to Jackie Sedley, Maeve Conran, Alexis Kenyon, Cassie Canoost, Clark Adamitis, Miriam Schiff, and Brigitte Mars for their work on today's program. A reminder that if you'd like to share a comment with KGNU, you can call us at 303-447-9911. Stay tuned for the latest commentary from Jim Hightower, and then it's a public affair. That's coming up after the news headlines from the BBC.